Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful Father's Day so far, and your father appreciated your, what is it, your acknowledgments and affirmation, and that it was a great day for all of you guys. We're this week, we're going to be talking about His will be done and what exactly, so we know that phrase from the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be talking about exactly what that means, especially after following, after that is, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is what we talked about last week. So we're continuing to build upon that statement this week.
Yep, and we're wishing our Father in Heaven a very happy Father's Day.
Every day.
Every day as we just highlight His prayer, the prayer that Jesus said when the disciples asked, hey, how do, here it is, yeah. And so we pray it. Many people pray it all around the world, different denominations, everything. And it's probably very well memorized by some. And,
by many.
Well, by many. By those who say it, they should say it.
Yeah.
And yet, I just know for years it was like, okay, what does this mean? What does it mean? You know, so we're going to go over that a little because it's very important that we understand what it means, what all of the word means. And then when we don't understand it, then we're in that category still that things are hidden from us, that they're a mystery to us, and there's reasons why He has left it this way. So that's what we're covering, because we need to know, if we're going to win our battle, we need to know what His will is, and then we need to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see, I'm trying to pull up.
Well, let's go off the Lord's Prayer for a moment.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
Oh, okay. So, our Father, right, we started off with our Father, so obviously it's the acknowledgement and who art in heaven. And so we've been talking a little bit about heaven, bringing heaven here on earth, part of our commission, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So so when we say who is in heaven, usually I think, I used to think far off, heaven is far off. But I'm realizing that because we're bringing His kingdom here, heaven is here where we have brought it. And we bring it in ourselves, and we bring it with to and with others. And so it's important that we say, our Father who art in heaven, and as close as we want Him, He is. Hallowed be Your name. Hallowed, you know, honored and revered is Your name. And so it's important that we, our shift to do His will means that we honor His name, that we know that everything that we do is for His name, and if it isn't there, that's the biggest shift we have to get to. You know, whatever we do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. So we're, you know, this is just the first sentence, right? Then He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're speaking to our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to know what His kingdom is and what His will is in order for that to be done here on earth as in heaven. And that's why this is our topic. If we're going to win our battles, this is key.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that all these rules about, or not rules, but the contrast between praying to God and praying as a hypocrite I always thought it was laid out as a separate thing, but it's literally right before even gave them the prayer. So this is the condition that you're supposed to pray with. And maybe that's why, you know, you're supposed to be praying in private, and that's why I have a problem with praying in front of people. I don't know.
But, yeah, I guess. I mean, when...
And by in front of people, I mean like as a group versus, you know, in a small number of people. Like, it's fine to me, but when they come, like...
At church, you mean? Do you have a problem with this?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem leading prayer because that's what you're supposed to do, like, or as like it's a cultural expectancy at a church. Like, oh, yeah, you want to pray? Yeah, sure. And then you just pray something nice for everybody and, you know, pray for everything to go well. And that, but to me, that just feels so, like, you know, praying out of obligation and also in hopes that, you know, that you didn't mess anything up. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
I don't. I know what you mean, but I don't necessarily pray that way.
I don't either. I mean, obviously, I think he's talking about the condition of your heart, but I just don't want to be, like, I don't want to pray and then have people have a certain, like, oh, he's so godly because of the way that he prays. Like, I don't want that to be, like, the reason why people want to listen to me pray type of thing.
Right. So, okay, this is really good because, you know, this isn't kind of what the topic that I thought we would go on, but I think what you're saying is really important to highlight.
Well, the first thing he's talking about, like, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Like, that's also a condition in those statements as well. But before he even went to that, this is what he was talking about.
Right. Right. And, okay. So,
you know, same reason why, like, I mean, it sounds really dumb, but that's why I don't usually like posting scripture online, because I don't want to be seen as a, like, oh, I'm such a reverent person like that. Like, you know, using scripture as captions on Instagram and stuff for the sake of getting likes, like, or people thinking that I do it for likes. Like, I just don't mess with that.
Okay, so let's shift it. When we do things, you want to get to a place where that all you're doing is doing it for his hallowing of his name.
Mm-hmm.
So if it means to honor him is to not pray in front of people, you're doing it because that's honoring him, not because of the people or what they're going to say or think or not think. And when we do pray, that we are also doing it to honor him, not because of what people think or don't think, but because it's honoring to him.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what comes to mind is there was a group that, you know, all these different people were speaking, and I felt like, well, it's great that we're all speaking these things. The focus needs to be, we need to have all these things that are our thoughts and our hopes and our wants and our things that we feel were injustices need to be addressed before the Father. I wanted to bring these people before the Father because we don't want to dishonor him by just speaking all these things and never including him or never mentioning. I mean, I think people mentioned him, but to actually involve him, like saying, okay, we want to see this action from heaven here on earth. And so with a group of people, I think then it becomes appropriate, right? Because we want to do his will. But a lot of it is understanding, you know, what is becoming, I guess, that freedom, right, in Christ. That we're not attached to what people think. We're attached to what he thinks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, because did I interrupt the thought?
No, that's it. It's your turn.
My turn. Ping pong. Okay. So if we want to do his will, we have to know what it is. And so most people don't quite get it, right? So let's go. We want to pull up those scriptures, or do you want me to pull them up on my phone?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of scriptures that actually say, you know, this is the will of God. And so I used to think that the will of God was in everything give thanks, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But then, okay, that's kind of easy, you know, be thankful. But then it's harder when you go back a few verses and it seems it's all part of that sentence. It says, rejoice always,
mm-hmm.
pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, but this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So then it's just like, what?
Hold up.
Thanking him is a little easier than rejoicing always, right? But consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, right? So the purpose of these trials are to bring us to a place where we have patience, and then all of what he's doing in us is completed in us because of the trials. So everything's opposite than in the world. The kingdom of heaven is opposite than the world. And the earth is different. When he talks about the earth as his footstool, it's different than what is of the world, right? So in the world is something different too than of the world. And, you know, we've talked about that, right? Of the world, kingdom of this world, and then the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. So we're wanting to do his will here on earth as it is in heaven. So you have a thought on that?
No, you sound like you stopped halfway in your thought. I was like, oh, okay, wow.
Yes. Okay, so we're to rejoice always, and that's his will.
Mm-hmm.
And to pray without ceasing, and that's his will, and everything give thanks. You know, just that alone, we can take a little while to actually master. But we go back up farther in that passage. And do you have that one pulled up?
What, this one?
No, that's the other one. You have it?
In Matthew?
No, that's one. Okay. Let's see.
That's the first page I pulled up.
All right. So then we just go up a little higher. I mean, we can go through the whole passage, but let's just go to verse 12, because those rejoice always starts in verse 16. And so in that part before it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you," right, "who gently instruct you and correct you." So that's an instruction. I mean, that is basically his will when he's saying, you know, "We beseech you, brethren," this is Paul speaking, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So why do you think that would be his will? Why would that be something, why is it in Scripture? You know, and then if it's in Scripture, what's it there for? So the thing is that it took a while, interestingly, for me to grasp that his will is that we do everything that he says. And it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, it seems pretty obvious, but even when we were talking about beforehand, you didn't have that ironed out. I think if we don't discuss it, or people don't labor among us that to admonish us and to help us understand what, you know, because we've walked in the Lord for a long time and we've prayed through things for a long time and then he reveals them, then those things kind of stay encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need each other in order to have those things decrypted. And then that's why it's important to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, because they have had to labor to get to the place that they can even speak these things, like the things that I'm saying now. I mean, I've labored over, I've made many mistakes over, you know, I haven't understood. But his will is for us to do everything that he says, and we have to believe everything that he says, and then we're going to go through some of those scriptures too. But how powerful it is. So, okay, so we keep going. "And be at peace among yourselves." Okay, he wants us to have, it's his will that we have peace among us. "And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." So this is his will also.
Mm-hmm.
His will is all the stuff he's telling us. It's like we have to warn the unruly. We don't want them to be unruly, because it definitely is not heaven on earth when there's things that are like that. And the people that are feeble-minded, that need comfort because their minds are weak, you know, we need comfort. We need to do that. That's his will. And if we don't see that we have a very important part in other people's lives. So we were talking earlier how our American church, our culture is one that we say, you know, well, we can't change anybody. We only can work on ourselves. But we have to work on ourselves first, but we definitely have a commission to affect other people. I mean, it seems ridiculous to think that all that we're having any kind of control over is ourselves. We have a lot of control over others, but it's not the way the world does it.
And even the scripture that talks about removing the plank from your eye before you go to see the speck of the others, it's not saying you can't acknowledge the speck in the other person's eye at all. It's just saying if you have the same problem that's bigger, take care of yours first so you're in a position to
help
do that for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because, and here's the thing too, is not everybody struggles with the same thing. So if you don't have a plank in your eye in an area and you see that there's a speck in someone's eye, you have more than, it's almost like you're obligated to, you know, to say, "Hey, you got that speck there.
Yeah, let me help you out." Because
yeah. Don't poke it though. No poking eye.
The thing is that operating in the kingdom of heaven or operating in his will means that we are at peace, we're humble. So we want to be corrected by somebody else. We want the help of somebody else. When we feel feeble-minded, we want the comfort of someone else. But somebody else needs to see that they are instructed, they're exhorted to comfort the feeble-minded, to support the weak, be patient towards all men. This is his will. He wants us to be patient with all men. And then he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, Okay, so this is his will, that we render no evil for evil to anyone. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
Mm.
So this is his will. And if we feel confused, then there's a problem, and we need to ask why we feel confused or why this doesn't make sense or this seems impossible. Why, you know, I don't think this is possible. How can we do these things that you're saying? Because those are the conflicts we have with Scripture or with God himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not we believe Scripture. A lot of this is difficult. And then the reason why then we refuse it is, and why it remains a mystery to us, is because we aren't pursuing to know him and wanting to know his will and wanting especially to do it. So it's like, you know, we've talked about these things as parent to you know, child. It's like if you can't get one thing, it's hard to have you do the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see this has to be done first, and I'm sure it's just automatic for the Lord that, you know, if we don't get the one thing, he's not going to reveal the other parts. So it should be, if things don't make sense or we feel we can't do things, we should really run to him and say, you know, I'm having trouble here, or I don't get it, or I don't agree with you, but I want to understand why they agree with you or what you mean by this, because it will prevent us from having a ton of problems. His will prevents us from having, you know, all the worldly things happen to us, all the things that we didn't understand, that if it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. I mean, that's his will. And that might seem difficult.
Yeah, this is what heaven looks like.
Right. That we prevent these things from happening, that we continue to bring heaven. So it's, I think
an interesting thing is people, like, yes, everybody wants to talk about how glorious heaven's going to look, and they only focus on the being in the presence of God, but they don't realize that all these things here is what heaven really is going to be like. Like, and this is the way how we can bring it to earth, because, you know, these things are not impossible, but what makes them seem so far away or make heaven seem distant is, but when it's by our works alone, you can't accomplish any of this.
Right. It has to be in the Holy Spirit. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why in the Old Testament, a lot of it was like works based, is because to show that you, like, as a, well, not works, but in the sense of animal sacrifices, it was, had to be something that had to be physically done, because nobody was able to keep up with this, I think.
On purpose, right?
Yeah.
There's reasons why he has.
And then when, you know, that's what the importance of the Holy Spirit coming down was, is now you have the ability to do and be this, but not by your own merits, by based upon how in tune with the Holy Spirit you are.
Right. I when I read through the Scripture, I see Holy Spirit there in the old, you know, old covenant also. Yet, you know, he didn't come because Jesus had not gone in the way that he is here for us and now. I mean, it's the same thing. Jesus was there before too. The whole covenant was pointing to him, and he was obviously, you know, the word was there, right, in the beginning. So, and, you know, who the word is, Jesus. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, right?
Mm.
So, okay, so that's just one passage, but it is really the whole Scripture that is his will. So in Romans 12, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I remember, you know, in the formative years of reading that and going, okay, how do we prove that? How do we do this? But now it seems obvious, but I know it's not obvious to, you know, a lot of us, and it takes time. But that's the purpose of why we need to help, you know, be there for each other, so that we all see different things sooner than maybe, you know, the next person in our own home. and we need to be discussing it. And even if it's not being discussed now in people's homes, it's people still, the Lord's been working in people. And so certain things will be stronger, you know, and stand out. And we're here to help each other get through and understand and how to prove what the will of God is. So he says in verse 1 that, he's urging us to present our bodies by the mercies of God. Okay, that's really important. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God. Okay, which is your spiritual service of worship. And we see this, we talked a little bit about sports last weekend. So when you look at performing in sports, I believe that everything that we have, that we can be involved in, is important that we do it unto, hallowing his name, for his name's sake. So when we perform a sport, we have the option, there are a lot of poor examples there, people doing it for their own glory and doing things that are really wrong and actually paying some pretty high prices for it, unto even death. So, or bondage to drugs or to alcohol or to some of the other diseases that come. So, but he says that we're to present our bodies as the living and holy sacrifice, and that we're supposed to honor him by laying down what we have before him, what we do in our bodies before him. And so, not everyone's an athlete. Not everyone does dance. Right? Not everyone sings and then uses their body, because that's a very physical thing. But everyone pretty much needs to get around or talk or communicate. And our bodies are what does that, right? So we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And this is our spiritual service of worship, by keeping what we do holy. Now, what does that all mean? I mean, some of the things that come to mind are obviously the sexual sins. Don't be engaged in things that put you together in things that are of the world and are outside of the light, outside of what brings sacredness to our sexuality or our sexual relationships with our spouse. And then, and those become visual things, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Those are all things that hinder this portion of God's will for us, right? And it's a big portion. He says, everything else we sin, is done differently, but the sexual sin is obviously one that we engage the fullness of our physical body, right? And so he's saying, this is his will. That we didn't pull that scripture up, but that we sanctify our bodies, that they're sanctified, set apart for him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I also think that bodies is meaning not only our physical body, but our spiritual body. I guess I would like to say even our mental body.
Your physical brain?
Well, I think
neurochemistry.
No, I'm saying that the mind is deeper than just the motion reactions. It's the actual thoughts themselves, because even scientists haven't figured out where a thought actually
originates.
Like how something that's chemical can do something that is not chemically defined. Like you can't chemically define thoughts. You can't physically define thoughts.
No, they're neural reactions.
Well. Okay, they're reactions, but, is that the difference between a living brain and the dead brain?
But they don't know, they don't know where it originates.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying. Bodies is every area of who we are. Jared is more than just a physical body. Jared is his thoughts. Jared is his soul. Jared is his being. Jared is his presence, Those are all things that can't be defined just purely off of physical.
Yeah. I guess we need to go deeper into the word study on bodies before we go any deeper on that. I just know that for the next passage goes more into that part of the mind that is important, the mind, will, right, and soul. Mm-hmm. So, and do not be conformed to this world. I mean, that's huge. When we want to know what God's will is, there it is, Friendship with this world, he says, friendship with the world in James is enmity with God. It's strife. It's causing a huge conflict. It's enmity. It's something he really disdains, right? So do not be conformed to this world. This is his will. But be transformed. This is his will by the renewing of your mind, right? So that you will prove, you may prove what the will of God is. So doing this, you prove what the will of God is. And so the thing is when I tried to understand that passage a while ago, it's because I was still conformed to this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are still so many things conformed to this world that I hadn't proved what the will of God was, but it was step by step by being transformed by the renewing of my mind, you know, which was difficult. I mean, there are cultural things. I could really feel the battle when he was asking me to do certain things, and I knew that it was, being Japanese, you know, background, that conformity is so elevated. Conformity is such an elevated concept in the Japanese culture because of how small the area is, right, and the need for them to be conformed in order to have a very cordial, you know, functional, cooperating culture, right? So it's when I had to not be conformed to our American culture, things that were acceptable in the American Christian church, for instance, also, it was very difficult, but I had to have that, my mind transformed and renewed to his mind, the mind of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And then as I was proving the will of God, now then it became clear. Oh, that's what you mean, right? That's what your will is that I do what your word says, that I don't be conformed. And then the rest of the scriptures are telling us how not to be conformed, or how to give the fullness of who Jared is, right, to him. And then we prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. This is Romans.
No, the every good and perfect gift one is from.
No, from it's from heaven. It's from the Father of Lights.
No, what book is it from?
How come I?
No, James. No.
I don't have a Dropbox. That one. Okay, so he's typing it in, looking it up.
I was right. James.
Okay, do you want to finish that thought, or do you want me to?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I was trying to keep track of everything.
Okay, so I, you know, just we're wanting the show to kind of move along, and be shorter, and then, but I want to make sure we cover really what a big portion of the will is, because if the end comes after this gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the nations, then this gospel of the kingdom becomes absolutely important. And once you start seeing it, then when you're reading through scripture, then you start seeing that he talks about the kingdom of God so much in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was always talking, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So one of the things that, let's see, I'll find it here. And he called the 12, this is in Luke, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And it just seems so important that we understand that his will is about his kingdom here. His kingdom come and his will being done. That's what his kingdom is, his will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. So he was going out proclaiming the kingdom of God, and it has to do with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is opposite than the world. You know, opposite is not, it's even as Christians, thinking what the kingdom of God is before we really grasp it, I didn't grasp it. I would look at the scripture and it says it's not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't see it. All I could do is question, like, because I saw, you know, he had been showing me so much about how important eating healthily is and what it does, because these are some of those good and perfect gifts that he's given. And he's given it everything pertaining to life and godliness, but I didn't understand how then the kingdom wasn't eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. But the righteousness, peace, and joy are more important for our health than the eating and drinking. And then the eating and drinking in the context is talking about, you know, what's offered as sacrifices to false gods, or, you know, people feeling like these things go against the living God, you know, the one true God. So, but the kingdom isn't about the eating and drinking. And so don't let that stumble you, because really what it is about is lifting up your brother. And that's another part of that part, what is explained in there. But he says it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's important that if we're going to bring his will here on earth, that we study to show ourselves approved, that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, because that's part of his will. Is an important thing, is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and to hunger and thirst for his righteousness, for his name's sake. And if we aren't in that place where we're doing that, then this becomes one of the most important things we pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. So we pray that we would hunger and thirst. And it may take years. I mean, there are things that I prayed for that have taken years and years. But he's still teaching us things. It may not be the things that we're really wanting at that time, or maybe there's just too much stuff in us that we haven't addressed, things that we're not confessing and to be made clean. Because he says repent, right? Repentance is a big part of this message. And he says, you know, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another scripture, but you're showing me the time, so it's like, well, I've got to find it in time.
Well, there's no, like, a real question.
Okay. Here's another scripture from Matthew 10. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. And goes on and says, you know, don't collect money for this. So he said, so the thing is he go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is really important. And then, are we operating in power? Because he says that, you know, there are some that hold to a form of godliness but deny the power. So it's important that we, his will is that we be godly, not just a form of godliness, that we are godly, and that we don't deny his power, but we operate and live in his power. And his power is written throughout scripture. It's different ways. This is an important way that I'll bring up, just because we're not necessarily doing this. But we're not necessarily doing a lot of the other forms of power. And I don't know if any one of us can do all the different forms of power,
mm-hmm.
but we need to accept each other and where God's working in each other, and then we need to be able to be open to growing into those things for later. But he does say that he does have the disciples do this, and he goes and says to make disciples. So the disciples were healing the sick. He said, he commanded them. He gave them authority, it says in other a few of the other gospels. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So these
and Jesus did all those things.
Yes.
And I think...
go ahead.
Well, that's also, like, if you go through the remainder of the New Testament, every disciple did some of these things.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was Matthew 10 that I read, but here's Matthew 4, okay? Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. So those things are important, right? That we're doing the same things that he said, did, because he said we'll do greater things than he, right? And we'll go through that passage because it has to do with our belief in him. And proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to leave off the word kingdom too much. Because his kingdom come and his will be done. It's so important. When he says he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, proclaiming it, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them.
Large crowds followed him from Galilee.
And the Decapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerusalem and Judea. And from beyond Jordan. That's Matthew 4, right?
Okay.
So, in John, Jesus says, it was recorded, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. So, do we believe it? And how much do we believe in him? He did these things. And he says that we'll do greater things. And he went and charged the disciples to do these things. And then he said to go make disciples, right? And do we really realize how much he talked about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of this world, you know, and we're to overcome that with the kingdom, living in the kingdom of God, overcome the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. This is his will, to bring us out of darkness into the light,
yeah.
Right? To bring him out of the dominion of Satan to that of God. It says in another scripture. So this is from Luke. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. So our culture has gotten really far into, you know, I guess a whole bunch of different directions. It's okay to talk about witchcraft and sorcery or those types of things or have...
I think it's more participation or encouragement of witchcraft. But, like, it's okay to talk about it as in, like, you know...
Videos.
What's wrong with it, but more or less in terms of manifesting it is an entirely different thing.
Well, okay, so where I was headed with it is there are movies that you can watch, there are videos, there are books you can read. It's commonplace. It's on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in the at the Super Bowl halftime. It's on signs all over the place, right? So it's out in the open. And yet in the church, we don't want to talk about casting out demons. I mean, a lot of people, I shouldn't say we, but a lot of people don't want to talk about these things that are in Scripture. And they want to think that it's for some other time period, but that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense, then what's the whole purpose of having faith now if it's not the same faith that existed throughout, you know, this whole time period? Even with Abraham, he had faith. He was justified by his faith. You know, these things are consistent. So for us, for a lot of people that speak that there's some kind of major division or change that happened, and there was a change. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't, but that there's some kind of severance in that change between Old and New Testament aren't necessarily, haven't seen it or studied it to see it from the big picture back steps far enough to see the consistency that goes on in terms of the faith and grace and mercies that were still there in the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit. And then when all foreshadowing, though, you know, all those things foreshadowed Jesus coming, which also these things on earth are foreshadowing what's in heaven that we are to actually connect with, increasingly mature, as it says in Ephesians, full measure of the stature of our Lord, right? We're maturing to a place. So so it's important. We can't get there without doing his will. So we have to look throughout Scripture and say, what is your will? What are you saying? And what's encrypted in here? What's a mystery? How? What do we have to put it? It's not necessarily something that we can just look at and say, oh, I understand it, because it's deep, and we have even years reading the same passage, it brings, you know, he brings more to light because there's a maturing in us. And so, you know, your brother was saying, you know, he's taken a couple years of computer networking, and he's, you know, you've got that computer, and he didn't know necessarily how to fix it or thought you were going to need to get another one and everything. Well, today he was fixing another computer, and now, you know, he's a year out of taking it. So he took it for 2 years early, like this is the program, right, you know,
mm-hmm.
For juniors and seniors in high school, and he took it as a freshman and sophomore. Skipped his last year, didn't take it, and he was finished with it, two-year program finished. But today... And yesterday, really, but today he was really talking about it a lot. He's like, I cannot believe how much I can see now that I can see. And I haven't taken any classes in this last year, but what I thought I understood before, I understand now. And he's just amazed. He's like, I can fix Jared's computer. I can do this, and I can do this, and I think I can do this. And he was just excited and going on, but also sober-minded because he's just like, can't dance.
He's like, whoa.
Yeah. How could I not have understood that before? He was so certain. And I'm like, that was an attempt to go, didn't work. I was like,
call your friends, I'm kidding.
Is that what I was doing?
Perhaps.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
So you're still a prideful.
No, well, I, no. So
I'm kidding.
Oh, I see what you're trying to say. Prideful, no, no.
Yeah.
But, no, I think it's important as the parent. This is what I think you're going to have to follow your pride.
I'm joking around. I just don't cry. What?
Anyways, back to what was I saying before I choked on my words? No, I'm kidding. That I was trying to clear my throat. That for him to be able to see, right, that there are things that he can't see.
Mm.
You know, the stubbornness that we do as children to our parents and then see later they were right because we couldn't see before, we have to make sure we don't have that stubbornness towards God on what we can't see. Because if he says it and we can't see it, I think that we need to be that humble to say, you know, I don't see it, but I need you to show me. Instead of just saying, you know, this is, you know, there is no God, this is erroneous. I mean, that's one extreme, right? This is erroneous, this is bogus, this is messed up. You know, he's bossing us around, telling us if he exists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is made by man, and then therefore, you know, man's just trying to control us. But if we prove what the good is, you know, by having our mind transformed, we see that, no, it's us that's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to win our battles, we have to know what his will is, and that really comes from the fullness of who he is, and that's manifested in his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words endure forever. So we need to know, we need to search and seek for him with all our heart. So there we go.
It's dope. I was going to say it's lit, and I switched it to dope for some reason. So do we want to...
Oh, look who's here.
We got a caller. Hola, senor.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
Well, good. Well,
you're on air now.
Yeah, you're on air. You're live.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I've kind of been multi.
Say, we didn't... I know, we catch you off guard sometimes. If you want to have input, cool. If not, then... we were going to wrap it up, and then he saw you were there, so he didn't give you any warning.
Well, no, I just enjoy listening. Good reflections.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we tried to get you in last week, and it didn't. I guess he was having problems. So we wanted to make sure. I think he didn't give me any warning because he thought
he's like, hi.
So.
I was telling him, and he called in too, I think. But
what's that? I missed that.
Internet chat people. I'm telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying
to
spread the word.
So, oh, that's good. Well, so if we caught you off guard and you don't have anything to say, then I guess we can let you and everyone have a great rest of the Father's Day.
Absolutely. Yeah, glory to God.
Yes. Yes. So big hug to you and to everyone who's listening. And
we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
6 p.m. Pacific Standard. Every Sunday. No, I was just trying to be funny. But anyways. Yeah, thank you, everybody who's been tuning in. Yeah, we'll be back next week, 6 p.m. You guys have a wonderful rest of your night. Have a good night.
Good night.